That's the Mimimax version of our guest today. We have the in-studio live version of A.J. Croce performing tonight at Levitt Pavilion Dayton on his Croce Plays Croce tour. A.J. Croce, welcome to Excursions.
Hey, thank you very much.
I'm so excited that you've come to town. In a lot of ways, the Croce family has been a part of the soundtrack to my life. I more or less grew up on your father, and I was turned on to you in about 2000 with your Transit release. And I guess I just want to say, first of all, thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
The show gets underway at 7 o'clock at Levitt Pavilion. And you have come into your own being, releasing 8 records before you came to the point of touching back on your father's catalog. But
right. Yeah.
A really wonderful line in just some of the reading I've been doing this morning was that you didn't grow up on your dad's music. You grew up on your father's record collection.
Right. I mean, that was sort of how Leon Russell, who I wrote that last song with, really connected, was because I grew up on older music, whether it was Little Richard and Fats Domino or Sam Cooke or Otis Redding. But guys like Mead Lux Lewis, you know, and Albert Ammons, Pete Johnson, guys like that that we both really loved, and all the stride piano players like Fats Waller and Willie the Lion Smith and James P. Johnson, we were just like, we just hit it off and wrote probably, you know, 10 or 11 songs, you know, in no time at all, just because we had all these things in common as piano players and songwriters. So, yeah, I don't know. It just... it was, you know, one of those things where at one point I picked up guitar sort of late in my career, and it was for the joy of playing. And when I started, I realized, you know, I want to touch on some of my dad's stuff. And when I did, I enjoyed it, and it prevented, you know, sort of provided a new challenge, and I felt confident in what I did and didn't really need to prove anything and just wanted to have fun.
It's kind of a nice and wonderful place to come from. I was somewhat astonished that your connection to, like, early on, a lot of the people who had a great deal of experience with making records through the years, like, your very first record was produced by T-Bone Burnett.
And John Simon. Yeah, John Simon was the arranger and hands-on producer on that. And T-Bone was there, too, sort of quality control. And we did that live, the first one. I think we did everything in 5 days, including the mix. I mean, there were no overdubs. It was just everyone playing up to 16 or 17 pieces all at once, and John conducting, like he did with the band, you know, on their first two records, Big Pink and the band, and Taj Mahal's first two, and Janis Joplin. And,
oh, my goodness.
Of course, Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, just he was with everyone, you know, and John and I, you know, stayed in contact, and he even arranged something on the last record I did with Dan Penn, the one that the song you just played is on, called Just Like Medicine.
We're in studio with A.J. Croce. He is on tour. Croce Plays Croce, going to be at the Levitt Pavilion Dayton this evening. Show gets underway at 7 o'clock, free and open to the public. Very cool, cool new opportunity to gather the musical family in the heart of our Gem City at this lovely Levitt Pavilion Dayton. You can find out more. Search that online and put Croce, spelled C-R-O-C-E, if you didn't know, and make your way to the show tonight. So at what point did you realize that it was time to touch back to your father?
I guess I had gotten to a place. I had enough chart success, you know, 17 or 18, you know, top 20 singles. And I just felt like I didn't need to prove that I was good at what I did. And I felt like I had his guitar and I felt an obligation to learn how to play it. It's a 1933 LO small-bodied Gibson that I love and record with, and I just thought it was important. And so, you know, I haven't really touched anything in the studio, but last year, this time of year, I got a call from Goodyear, and they wanted to do a special ad with you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and it featured him and
his
father.
The race car driver.
Right. And so, well, time in a – I mean – the song that I recorded, I Got a Name, was originally for a movie about a race car driver, Jimmy Johnson, a NASCAR driver. And my dad recorded it as a commercial venture. It wasn't even supposed to be on his record, let alone the title of his record. But it just turned out that way. And so it was kind of too many parallels for me to turn this thing down, and I thought it would be fun. So I recorded 5 different versions of it in 4 hours, and we did it live and with some great players, Brian Sutton on guitar and Colin Linden on guitar, my bass player, David Berard on bass from New Orleans, and Brian Owings, the McCrary sisters, and myself singing and playing Fender Rhodes on this.
And just as far as the father-son things go, with that connection and also with this song, I Got a Name, which I'm having trouble queuing up here. Can you pick another from this album that we'll spin here, and we're going to get to...
Let's do Cures Just Like Medicine.
Here it is from A.J. Croce's Just Like Medicine, more or less the title track, on Excursion. Stay close. We'll be back in studio with A.J. Croce at the Levitt Pavilion Dayton tonight at 7.
I've been betrayed by the ones I love.
Wonderful sound of a fabulous choir. That's another from Just Like Medicine, the record out last year with our guest today, A.J. Croce, who again plays the Levitt Pavilion Dayton right in the heart of our gem city tonight. Show gets underway at 7 o'clock. What a lushness present there. What a wonderful sound.
Well, thank you. That was produced by Dan Penn and written by Dan and I. That was the first thing that got this whole record started. And, you know, we recorded it in mono because... not just because it was a soul-inspired record, even though it's all original. We just sort of recognize that everyone's listening to music on their phones and laptops, and it's sort of like listening to transistor radio. Nothing better than a mono track to listen to all that stuff on a small speaker.
And I remember certainly in like my high school days, the whole thing was to have a fabulous sound system that you put speakers in multiple points around a room.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, quadraphonic sound, of course.
And you set a chair in the perfect listening point.
Exactly, right.
But so how that's kind of clever to do it in mono so that you can get the best possible sound out of these tiny, you know,
yeah,
what
exactly.
Millimeter speakers.
You know, I think Quincy Jones used to listen to even when he was doing these great recordings with great artists like Michael Jackson or whatever, would always still listen to his little Oralux speaker, which are what everyone mixed to in the 60s. And I think he called it the truth.
The truth is A.J. Croce in studio on stage tonight at the Levitt Pavilion here in Dayton, Ohio. You were saying that the last time you were through this area, you were on tour with Aretha Franklin.
That's the last show I remember. You know, I was supposed to play 10 shows in 2 weeks with Aretha, but... it was such a strange thing. She had a great rhythm section. Bernard Purdy on drums, Wilbur Bascom on bass. Horace Ott was piano player and musical director. Teddy Richards, her son, was playing guitar. He and I became really, really close. And it was such a unique thing because she didn't have a tour manager or a rider or anything. So she'd get to a venue and, you know, stuff wasn't quite right. And she'd go, we're not playing it. So in the 2 weeks that we were out, we only played 2 shows, and this was one of them. And it was a trip because we'd get there, and if we'd do a sound check, we'd do the whole thing. And I had an 8-piece band at the time. We'd come off stage, and then she'd go on, and then she'd go, no, that's it. And it was done.
Was there outrage from the audience, or were they just like, well, we missed a chance at immortality, and we'll just wait for the next one?
Yeah, I guess it seemed like everyone was, disappointed, but they were all right with it. And certainly when people came here, and the other show we did was in Akron, you know, she always had the union musicians in these towns playing horns and strings. So, you know, you went to a town like Nashville or, you know, Chicago or New York or L.A. or something. You have these, you know, huge unions where you have a lot of choices, but the smaller towns don't have those those same players, you know. So you have fewer choices, and sometimes that was the deciding factor.
I can only imagine. She seems like the kind of person that either like stayed completely to herself. I love Aretha Franklin. I can't even begin to convey that. Or that you guys hung a lot in the dressing room.
No, not at all. She did her own thing, and she like had her ritual for what she did before a show and how she liked everything to be. And I think she was a sort of a creature. You know, we hung out a couple times, but that was it.
Yeah, know? But still, yeah. Nice. Do you guys play piano together?
No. I did. You know, I was touring with James Brown. Ray Charles. Ray Charles was very, very kind and stood by the side of the stage every night I played and gave me a hug after come off. It was. You know, at that point, I was just a kid. I must have been 20 or 21 at the time, and I felt like, okay, I can die now. I don't need to live anymore. I did everything I wanted to do, and I got the approval of Ray Charles. So
wow. Well, you have our approval here too, as well. AJ Croce, it looks like I cannot turn into sound the ones and zeros that you were kind enough to send me of the song. I Got a Name, but we can at least talk about it because
There's
such an interesting through line with this song.
Mm-hmm. We touched on a little bit, but yeah,
the you were not quite two when your father perished in the plane crash.
That's right.
The next day after his death is when the I Got a Name song was released. Is that right?
Yeah, the single was released, I think, to sort of capitalize on the tragedy, which is the nature of things. But, you know, the album wasn't supposed to come out until December, but they ended up pushing it for about 10 days after the crash. You know, after he recorded that album, he was on the road and he wrote another song that was meant for the next album. And I decided that since no one had ever heard it and it was sort of a special thing that I'd had, you know, on a cassette tape for years and then in my phone and my iPod and whatnot. And I decided that I would cut it and so I recorded it on this last album that you have right there. It's called Name of the Game, and it features Colin Linden playing my dad's guitar and Vince Gill playing his old 30s Martin and myself on Wurlitzer and vocals with the McCrarys joining in as well. As
should
the rest
we hear?
Of this great band.
Should
if
we
wanted,
hear a little bit of that right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I mean, this is what you might have heard had he lived just a little bit longer.
Another from AJ Croce's Just Like Medicine on 91.3 WYSO. A little kind of time travel almost there. A tune that on this record sees its first light of day. Vince Gill on there as well. Name of the Game from Just Like Medicine. AJ Croce on stage tonight at the Levitt Pavilion. Show gets underway at 7 o'clock. It's rain or shine, by the way, just so you know. And we did manage to get your version of I Got a Name up and ready to play. And as we were saying, it was released in something of a craven, opportunistic way immediately after.
Yeah, you know... Yeah, it was. I mean, I got asked to do it for a Goodyear commercial about a race car driver who was a second generation race car driver, and my dad recorded about a race car driver originally, and that was the original intent was a commercial release, you know, something other than an actual record. And so, after the first spot ran for the first half of this year, you know, it was very successful for them, and they, you know. Someone came to me and said, "Hey, you want to, you know, release this?" And I said, "Sure, why not? I've got a you know, a full song version of it," which we did just as a lark, sort of, because they just needed 60 seconds, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, you know, and a
5 second. But if you're going to go in, you might as well sit down.
Might as well play the whole thing.
Comfortable,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we did them all in about 4 hours.
It's remarkable. The tune is one of the few that your father didn't write.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he really went in with this. I don't know that he even played on it. I think he was in California when the main track was recorded. He was doing something else and promotion for what was going to be this album, and came in, recorded the song, and it turned out great. And it was Gimbel and Fox, who had written "Killing Me Softly" and had a couple of other hits, but he was the guy they wanted to have sing it. And it seems like it's very autobiographical.
It's about a person whose father died before he could live to see the son be successful. Was your grandpa a musician? Is that what I'm
meant
to infer?
I had five generations. five generations of musicians on both sides. My
grandmother
had a show on my mom's side in Philadelphia playing piano, doing old songs by, you know, Cole Porter and Gershwin's and Jerome Kern and stuff like that. And that was in the late 40s, early 50s. And then my great-grandfather was an opera singer on my dad's side. And, just my grandfather on both sides. I mean, everyone played music.
Who's to even speculate?
Mom did, you know.
Yeah. What would have happened had he lived and you two would have been able to, you know, that he would have had a direct influence on you. But it seems like whether what happened or he lived on, you were destined to make music.
I never really wanted to do anything else. There was a period where I was a little bit, you know, ambitious academically, but then you know, I got some opportunities first, you know, from B.B. King when I was 18 and asked if I wanted to go out on the road. He heard me play somewhere. And
thank you, B.B.
And that was the beginning. And I went out before I didn't have an agent or manager or anything. I just flew up and met him in Seattle. We played, you know, up in Canada and all down the West Coast. And by the end of that run, I think I had, you know, a label and a manager and was starting to embark on a career.
We're in studio with AJ Croce. We're going to hear that tune. And then I'm also going to play one that I love. It's Only Me from the album Transit that I just knocked my socks off when I first heard it. And that was my first experience of you. So we'll hear that. And this tune, I Got a Name. AJ Croce, I know you got to go get a sound check in. Again, you're on stage tonight at 7 o'clock at the Levitt Pavilion, Dayton, right in the heart of our gem city. Thank you for taking some time with us today.
Hey, thank you very much. Have a nice day. And I hope I see folks out there tonight.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I got a name. I got a name.